Imagine standing outside in January, wearing nothing but boxers, a leather jacket, and pink Crocs, clutching your ex-girlfriend's prize-winning Persian cat.
Now, imagine that at this precise moment, every building on Earth is suddenly crushed flat by aliens.
This is Carl's reality when the apocalypse strikes at 2:23 a.m.
In an instant, everyone indoors, roughly 99.9% of humanity, is killed as the planet is harvested for raw materials by the Syndicate.
A robotic voice explains that Earth has been seized, but survivors have one chance. Enter an 18-level dungeon within the next hour, or try to survive on a devastated surface.
With hypothermia setting in and no other options, Carl spots a spotlight bursting from the ground, a dungeon entrance.
Clutching the protesting cat, Princess Donut, he descends an ornate staircase, becoming crawler number 4122 in a game that will be broadcast across the galaxy as entertainment.
What Carl doesn't yet realize is that his ridiculous ensemble, especially those pink Crocs, will become his apocalyptic uniform and part of his survival strategy in the deadliest game show in the universe. The dungeon functions like a sophisticated video game, with stats and achievements in Carl's vision. But Dungeon Crawler World, Earth, is actually a reality show, broadcast to aliens galaxy-wide, who place bets and influence challenges. Popular crawlers receive better loot, while boring ones face manufactured crises or elimination. Carl earns several achievements upon entering: Crazy Cat Lady for bringing Donut, Early Adopter, Why Aren't You Wearing Pants, and Loner for entering solo, which mockingly awards him none. Haha, you are so dead. The system clearly prioritizes entertainment over fairness. Through NPCs, Carl learns Earth's disturbing situation. The Syndicate planted humans millennia ago, made first contact during pyramid construction, then returned to claim the planet. Earth failed to claim sovereignty, allowing Borant Corporation control. The fish-like Kwatin who own Borant are controlled by the Bloom, a nationalist movement resembling Nazi Germany. Financially desperate, the Bloom is pressuring Borant to end the game quickly, explaining the bugs and overpowered monsters designed to accelerate crawler deaths.
I am GC, BWR, NWR Princess Donut the Queen and Chonk, and you will address me as such. Princess Donut transforms from pet to pompous aristocrat with enhanced stats, particularly her charisma of 25, making her nearly irresistible. She gains enhanced growth, magic missile, and an enchanted crown of the sepsis whore, placing her in the royal succession of the Blood Sultanate. Donut renames their party the Royal Court of Princess Donut, promoting Carl from manservant to bodyguard. Their relationship becomes complex. Her charisma and magical abilities prove invaluable, but her imperious attitude creates constant problems. When Carl threatens to leave due to her condescension, she reveals unexpected vulnerability, suggesting deeper bonds. The once ordinary house cat has become a powerful, exasperating companion, leaving Carl frequently muttering, "God damn it, Donut," as she drags them into precarious situations.
Unlike Donut's charisma-based approach, Carl relies on improvisation and creative resource use. His Coast Guard background provides practical skills, but his outside-the-box thinking truly distinguishes him. The dungeon rewards Carl's barefoot fighting style with skills like Foot Soldier and Smush. Though initially uncomfortable with what seems unlike Donut's charisma-based approach, Carl relies on improvisation and creative resource use. His Coast Guard background provides practical skills, but his outside-the-box thinking truly distinguishes him. The dungeon rewards Carl's barefoot fighting style with skills like Foot Soldier and Smush. Though initially uncomfortable with what seems like the system's foot fetish, he embraces these abilities, earning enchanted pedicure kits that enhance his combat prowess. His greatest innovation is Carl's Jug of Boom, improvised incendiary devices made from monsters' moonshine jugs that create devastating blue flames that incinerate enemies. Throughout their journey, Carl combines available resources in unexpected ways. When conventional combat fails, he sets traps using his growing collection of explosives and mechanical skills. His approach embodies a key theme: adaptation is essential for survival. While most crawlers follow familiar rules, Carl recognizes the dungeon's twisted logic and turns this chaos to his advantage, creating opportunities others miss.
If we get to the point where we don't help each other anymore, that's when we stop being human. Throughout their journey, Carl and Donut encounter diverse characters. The goblin community becomes an early ally, charmed by Donut's charisma. They build the pair a Goblin Copper Chopper, a junkyard bicycle with an unreliable steam engine for transportation. They later meet Brandon's team from Meadowlark Eldercare Facility, who fled during a fire only to become trapped in the dungeon. Of the original 250 residents and staff, only 38 patients and 4 caregivers remain when Carl finds them. Despite the risk, Carl commits to helping these vulnerable survivors reach the next level. Not all encounters are friendly. Frank Q and Maggie Mai are crawlers who've murdered others for gear. Initially posing as law enforcement, they're exposed as killers who even murdered their own teenage daughter when she became a liability. Their most complex relationship is with Zev, a 2-foot-tall Kuitin PR agent managing their media appearances. While helping them navigate fame, Zev serves Borin Corporation's interests. Yet she shows vulnerability, admitting her family could be wiped from the universe if she displeases her superiors.
Carl and Donut's unconventional tactics catapult them to celebrity status, amassing 69 billion views and 635 million followers by the second floor. This fame brings advantages, but also complications, including mandatory appearances on shows like Death Watch Extreme Dungeon Mayhem. They begin noticing peculiar inconsistencies, suggesting deeper dungeon mysteries. The enigmatic Agatha, an elderly woman with a squeaking shopping cart and space limitations, operates by different rules. When questioned about her high-tech items, she cryptically remarks, "Them critters already know I'm here. They just don't know what to do about it," before vanishing. The system itself behaves strangely at times. When Jack urinates on a dungeon wall, it summons a nearly indestructible level 93 rage elemental, a punishment seemingly excessive even by the dungeon's harsh standards. These anomalies suggest the dungeon isn't merely a straightforward challenge, but a complex system with hidden rules, secret players, and agendas beyond entertainment.
Dungeon Crawler Carl explores humanity under extreme pressure. Carl's journey transcends physical survival. It's about maintaining humanity in an inhuman situation. Despite the system encouraging competition, he consistently helps others, from Meadowlark residents to danger dingoes he feeds rather than kills. This moral core faces constant testing. Carl feels genuine remorse when he accidentally kills goblin infants, despite the system's mockery. When confronting Frank and Maggie's cruelty, he regrets their daughter's death while condemning their actions. She deserved better. We all would have been stronger together. As the crawler count drops from over 10 million to just 1.2 million by the second floor's end, Carl and Donut prepare to descend to level 3 to select races and classes. They've learned to collaborate despite differences, find humor amid horror, and preserve their humanity even when cruelty brings rewards. In a universe reducing humans to entertainment, the most revolutionary act might be remembering what makes us human. Carl carries not just weapons and stat points, but something far more valuable: the understanding that survival without humanity isn't survival at all.